Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
And I'm Matthew Province.
And we have a guest with us today, all the way from the land of Keepers of the Sparks Facebook group, Josh Skipper. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Hey, brother. Thanks. Great to be back.
Likewise.
Great to have you here, man.
Josh, it's been a while since we had you on the show. We don't like talking about rumors and speculations on the show. It's one thing we do not do. But there is something that has been brought to my attention, and it's about the cards that are in the set boosters. You know, you guys know about there's a 25% chance that you're going to pull one of those, the list cards out of those packs, right?
Yep.
What if I told you that the white mana symbol has changed on those cards only?
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Okay, now I cannot personally confirm this. I've been told by like 200 people. Not one of these people have even shown me proof yet. But I look it up on the internet, and I see people talking about it on the internet. I don't see any pictures. And it, you know, there's a lot of questions that run through my head. Why? Is this the new white symbol, if that's the case? And is this going to make it hard for my app on my phone to scan the cards? Is it going to confuse new people? You know, what are your guys' thoughts on this?
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Matt.
Sorry. So I personally think that, you know, a white symbol is a white symbol. It doesn't matter too much what it is. I mean, like, I can look right now and I can tell you if it, like, I'll just go on Google right now, look up white symbol MTG change.
Now, while Matt's looking this
up. So here's the actual, you know, thing that says from the MTG wiki, Gamepedia, is the white mana symbol was altered to be more defined after Ice Age. A third version of the white mana symbol was used for inexplicable reasons on several cards in the list. So it wasn't on all the cards in the list. It was on several cards in the list, apparently. So there's been no actual reason given for it yet either. People have just seen that it looks different.
So they've changed up the mana symbol for white?
Only white mana on not even all the cards that have the white mana symbol, only some of them so far.
So, wow, I just learned that new today.
Yeah, me too.
So
I mean, I just looked it up on Google.
So just getting this clear, even for my ears and for our listeners' ears, they only changed the white symbol on a few cards from the list in the Zendikar Rising set boosters.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, for people who don't know who the list is, it was this.
So, Josh, going to you on this, what is your opinion on this?
I mean, I don't think it's going to affect the game, really. It might confuse some of the newer players. I mean, it confuses me a little bit, and I've been playing for a while now, so I just don't see really why they're changing it up, honestly.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah. Well, first, you know, for the newer players who may not understand what the list is, it was a list created in Zendikar Rising set booster packs. It was created by Wizards of the Coast to give players a chance to pull like an older card, maybe an even chase card from one of these packs. The likelihood of getting something expensive was extremely low. And I think I've opened 5 set booster packs in general. And, you know, it's supposed to be 25%. I didn't get any. So that 25%, I think it may be a little bit lower than that. Or maybe, you know, I just got unlucky with the packs I opened.
I agree with you. I mean, but you got to remember, too, that it's just like that movie Casino Royale. You know, I've mentioned this in the past previous podcast where that guy had that crazy eye and he would tell you, I know statistically speaking is what the odds are. Okay. Even when you know what the odds are, that doesn't mean it's going to happen like that. Those are just,
exactly. That's why it's called probability.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Before we do go on to page 2, I want to let the listeners know that Josh is at home with his children, just like, you know, 90% of America at being at home with your children while we're doing the podcast. So I'm sure a lot of the listeners will relate to what's going on, and it shouldn't really be that much of an issue. But on page 2, I can just say one word, and it's been a while since I've been able to say that line. I think it was Godzilla when I did it last. But this time, the one word is Omnath. That's right, man. I can even put out a moment of silence. Let's go ahead and have a moment of silence.
Bow our heads in a moment of silence.
Yeah, let's not do it for Omnath. Let's do it for Uro.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. None of us were surprised that Uro got banned, but I mean, it was still a big thing nonetheless that he got banned. He was so widely used, even after Omnath came out. I mean, in the top 20 competitive decks that were at the time, Uro was only being used in one of them. But still, that's, you know, a huge thing. And that's another thing, talking about Omnath, is now Omnath has completely taken over the standard meta. And it was Uro before, now it's Omnath. So first, John, what do you think is happening now? What do you think is going to happen with Omnath?
Oh, he's going to get banned. He's going to get banned. There's no doubt about it. You know, if I can just take a step back, and I know this is one of my idiosyncrasies. What's the word I'm looking for here? Idiosyncrasies. Anyway.
It's a word.
Yeah, it's a thing. So let's take a step back here. And we mentioned Uro, and I wanted to give a moment of silence for Uro. Let's go ahead and give Uro his well-deserved moment of silence. So we're all three going to be quiet for about 30 seconds, okay? Or maybe even 60 seconds. Let's go ahead. And this is a funny thing we're going to do, because can you imagine somebody listening to this podcast and being like, are we really going to do this right now? So Josh, Matt, join me in a moment of silence. All right. Now that we're done with that moment of silence, which was well deserved, because think about this. Did you guys know that almost 56% of the people that were playing with Uro, and there's people who are like, okay, we got to fight Uro. You know, the other 4%? They're like, okay, we got to fight Uro. Did you know what they were using, guys? They were using Uro to fight Uro.
Yep.
So you can't beat them, join them. You know, I know it's a cliche and it's been said a million times, but I was finding myself to being like, okay, guys, I guess I'm just going to go ahead and have to put blue and green in my deck and put some Triome lands in there. You know, I do see that they're going to ban him. And of course, why not? You know, he's a tank. He's an engine. You're getting free abilities off of him. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes three. I mean, you see with the cards written, what it does. It was broken the minute it was printed, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hurting
Josh,
the
what
format.
Do you think?
It's hurting the format.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the fact that people come out with all kind of janky ways to just pretty much break the game with him. But I do know that he's going to wind up being a problem, and they're going to wind up probably having to ban him. I've seen that as soon as they released him for the spoiler before Zendikar dropped. When I seen him, I was like, oh, he's going to be just a powerhouse when Standard rotates. I was like, this is going to be one of the new cards to deal with. But everybody keeps forgetting about Ugin. I heard somebody say that on a stream I was watching the other day. It's like, they forget about Ugin.
Yeah.
Still a big
problem.
Well,
I think the main thing with Ugin is he's by himself. He's not that powerful. Okay, you have to procure the mana to get him out first. You have to be able to play those creatures and play around getting him out. You have to be able to wait with the mana that you have to be able to get him out later on in the game, right? Even if you're playing with ramp, he's 8 mana to get out. He's always going to be easier to beat than Omnath will be, just because Omnath has a lot more value than Ugin does. The one thing that makes Ugin better in some ways than Omnath is that he's colorless. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's easier in general to get out, but that doesn't matter when we have, you know, the Zendikar Rising, all of the mana fixing that we currently have. Omnath could take out Ugin any day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at things like that one green creature that costs 7, the Beanstalk Giant or whatever he is. He does the same thing. You know, you're going to look for turn 3 land drops.
Well, and then there's Lotus Cobra, right? Mm. Lotus Cobra is another issue and getting mana super quickly. And I mean, I like it. I use it. But it can get quite powerful quite quickly, especially with, you know, Fabled Passage. being able to crack that land, get another land out, and that's automatically two mana. And then you have, if you have something else,
Evolving Wilds.
Land Vulture that
brings
another land out. Is Evolving, is Evolving Wilds standard legal right
Yes,
now?
It is. Yes, it is.
It is.
I wonder if anybody's using one of my favorite green ramp combos, like Arboreal Grazer, and then throwing a Migratory Greathorn onto it, turn
two
for four mana. It's like, okay, well, I got all my mana I need for Omnath on turn three now.
Yep. No, Arboreal Grazer was grass, especially when Uro was still legal. It was like it turned two every time. I was like, oh, it's Uro again.
Right? You just knew it was coming.
Exactly. Now it's the same with Lotus Cobra, except it's turn three instead of turn two now.
Commander Legends previews start October the 12th. And be on the lookout for your favorite Magic the Gathering content creators. And they will be doing previews starting October the 12th. Hasbro.
Very excited.
Hasbro announces their third quarter earnings. This excites me if you're in the financial side of Magic the Gathering. We will be covering this information on our Halloween special podcast, October the 31st. So that's something to look forward to. Now we're going to get to the segment today where I actually dread it getting to this point, guys. The Walking Dead.
Get ready for the dumpster fire.
Yes, The Walking Dead. Okay, so I'm sure there's three guys here. There's three guys here on this podcast. So I'm not sure if all of our opinions are going to collide, if they're going to collage. Let's see how this goes. Josh, starting with you, if you've heard about this yet or what your thoughts and opinions are of The Walking Dead coming into Magic the Gathering and what they're doing with Secret Lair.
Yeah, I've seen those, and I've been keeping up with that and watched quite a couple of videos by a couple different streamers about it on YouTube, and I can see everybody's points on both sides, so right now I'm kind of on the fence about them, honestly.
Fair enough.
I'm not quite sure which way I'm leaning. Towards Matt? The beginning, I was leaning more towards the bandwagon.
Matt?
Like, everybody's like, man.
I actually have a quote from one of the original creators of Magic that I want to read out. Okay. Take me 1 second to pull it up.
And what's this person's name?
It's Jesper Mierforce.
Can you say the name again? You just sound like a robot.
Jesper Mierforce.
Okay.
But everybody knows Jesper, right? This is a bit lengthy, so bear with me. Back in the old day, and he said this on September 2nd of 2018, and people are using this quote to relate to right now with Secret Lairs, not just The Walking Dead, but all of them in general, okay? This is what he's saying at September 2nd, 2018. Back in the old days at Wizards of the Coast, we used to joke about how cravenly greedy it would be to release cards that you could only get with a high purchase price, like only available in a booster box, etc. We often said that if we did that, it was because we were out of ideas, and the grasping suits had totally taken over. Then we would laugh because we would never allow that to happen. We called them chase cards, and we knew their single purpose was to squeeze even more money out of obsessed players. Even back then, we understood 100% that it was taking advantage of people with the mental disorders, not relating to any disability of any kind, but to the people who are obsessed with Magic, and that it was the wrong thing to do. We knew that many players would see it for what it was, a sign of a total loss of respect for our players, all for a pathetic short-term gain. Those cards would have been aimed squarely at benefiting shareholders, not to benefit the players, and it would have been disgusting. That is why we never did it, though it was discussed. So this was 2 years ago. This was talked about by one of the original creators of Magic, right? One of the original people who brought it to life. And now we're looking at it today, and this is exactly what's happening.
To me, it's a deep subject. It's a deep subject to me because
it's very deep. It's very deep.
I don't want to cut you off, Matt, but I've gotten into heated arguments over this topic alone. Okay. When the topic of IP comes up, you know, I'm not really one of these tech savvy people, but one of these people who understand, you know, law and, you know, where am I going with this? Okay. Yes. Having characters from different worlds and different realms like My Little Pony The Walking Dead could possibly bring, I mean, not possibly bring, but is going to bring people who've never heard of Magic or played Magic into the game. You know, there's going to be people who are fans of Walking Dead and go, oh, wow, let me try this, man, because, You know, there's going to be collectors. There's going to be people that don't play the game. There's going to be people who collect those cards. There are. There's a select few out there. And there's going to be problems shipping these overseas. There's a huge problem with that, in all honesty. The fact that they're black bordered cards is what's getting me, okay? They're going back into Vintage Legacy. They're going into Commander Legal. This is an issue when you're talking about a limited supply. We all know about supply and demand. The demand is huge and is going to be huge, but the supply is not there. So we're talking instantaneously tripling the value day one.
Yeah. So another one of my issues with this is having to do with the reserve list and Wizards saying many, many years ago that they would never print their own single cards and sell their own singles, which is exactly what they're doing here.
No. They say they would never reprint a functioning working copy of anything that's on the reserve list.
No. So the reserve list and the other thing I'm talking about are separate.
I do know.
So remember, back in the day, Wizards had their own store, right?
Correct.
And they said that they were going to stop selling their own singles. They were going to leave it to everybody else to do that. Correct. That's what I'm talking about there is my second point.
Yes.
The reserve list is a completely separate thing. I was bringing up two different points.
That's correct. Yes.
So first, let's go with the reserve list, right? Mm-hmm. The reason I'm saying that it's breaking the reserve list is because it's a way of valuation for cards that, and it's not alone just saying that they're not going to reprint those cards, but it has to do with the value of those cards themselves, because reprinting that card or having that card can single-handedly change how the market works. And that's exactly what's going on with The Walking Dead. It's going to change how the Wizards of the Coast market works. That's going to change people like me who make a decent amount of money off of buying and selling cards, and plenty of LGSs too. It's going to change how they're going to be functioning in the future if they continue to do these things. One time, you're going to see a little bit of a change, but it's not going to be a huge effect. If they continue to do this, it can put a financial burden and loss on the little guys like us. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying, you know, like the reserve list.
Okay.
Now, does that make sense? I mean, there's going to be listeners who agree and disagree with me. Mm-hmm. Well, and this is just from my personal experience with what I'm seeing.
If I can inject something in here, okay?
Yeah, of course.
There's two things I want to touch base on that is, one, the way they got the names on there, okay? If you look back at Ikoria and we did the Godzilla cards where you would have the, right, so you know where I'm going with this.
They it has to do with the copyright.
Well, and if we lose the copyright, and you know, being a hole here, Magic the Gathering loses the copyright to the Godzilla cards. They had a backup plan, which was put another name under there, and we're going to use that name when we don't have the Godzilla name anymore. Okay. Yep. Now, the other thing I want to touch base on is, I mean, they could have done that. They could have done other things too, but they've already had the answer. They already had the fix. Okay. The other thing is the burden this is putting on the local game stores. Yes, you touched base on it, okay? They closed the Wizard store. I think it was 96 or something. You know,
yeah.
Local game stores are at your own risk. Sure, we'll give you marketing material, you know. Now, I know there's big moves and shakes going on in the Magic store world. I don't know if I can touch base on that yet, but I do want to as soon as I get the word to go ahead and talk about that. But the whole supply and demand thing, they gave the local game stores one secret lair. One secret lair, which was an expensive one, the land one, you know.
Yep.
And with no MRSP or MSRP, go ahead and have fun with that, you know. It's a hot topic. It really is. It's something we're not going to ignore. It's something we had to talk about on today's podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
Well, Josh, I want to hear what your point of view is from not just what I'm saying, but also touch on, you know, maybe the quote and your own personal opinion on, once again, like, where do you see this leading in the future?
Mm-hmm. I honestly see this being bad for LGSs in the long run and everything. Them getting rid of the MSRP... It's just too much change up to the market too fast. They're trying to push too much on people too quick, I think. Mm-hmm. And they need to get the acceptance of their community. Because like I was telling my friend, I was like, if you make the whole community mad, your business is not going to survive. You have to keep your customer base happy as a whole. Yeah. And right now, they're not really doing that great. Their best paper product is Commander, and everything else is pretty much flopping. And I feel like that's what they're doing with all the secret layers and everything, is them trying to grab that cash that they're not getting from their regular paper sales.
Yeah, as Jesper said, it's the grasping suits.
Yes, I agree.
Let's go to page number 6. Josh, this is where you do your plug. So, Josh, for people that are just now tuning in and they don't know about you, can you go ahead and let them know?
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I'm Josh Skipper. I am the founder of Keepers of the Spark MTG. We're a Facebook group. We're welcome to all people and all communities. We have a big emphasis and basis on supporting streamers and content creators. So if you are a streamer or a content creator, feel free to come over and give us a check out. We also have a Discord underneath the same name. Something I want to touch base on and talk about, because I told the group I would be talking about on the podcast, is we are actually kicking off at our group's league tomorrow. What it'll be is it'll basically be 1 month-long tournament. It'll be separated into 4 weeks throughout the month. The first week of the month, we'll be playing a standard format. You will have 5 rounds to play your opponent. And for each match win that you get in each round, you get 3 points. If by chance you do wind up having a draw with your opponent, you get 1 point. So if you get 5 wins for the first week, your max points will be 15 points. So if you can go undefeated for the whole month, you get 60 points. And then at the end of the month, what we do is we'll tally up everybody's points, and first through sixth place will all get prizes. We've got, I believe, 19 or 20 people that have joined the league for this season, and we're actually going to get a booster box, and I'm going to split up the boosters for first through third place. And let's see, first place will get 16 booster packs. Second place will get 12 booster packs. Third place will get 8 boosters. Fourth place will get I believe it's a Zendikar pre-release pack that my buddy is going to put up for prize support. Fifth place will get 4 arena codes, and sixth place will get 2 arena codes. And see, our second week will be historic format. Our third week will be brawl. And our fourth week will be artisan. Say monthly dues for each member are $5. And all the dues for members are actually put completely into prize support. So there's no profit for the group off of it. It's all gone back into the group.
So this would be more or less a win a half a box event plus other prize support. This is nice. And only for $5 a month?
Yes.
This is unheard of. This is unheard of, because usually when you go to a local game store, you can pay like $20, $25, maybe even $30 to win this kind of prizes. This is something I'm looking forward to. And how can people find you?
Yeah, you're actually in the league.
Yeah. How can people find you?
They can find us on AetherHub underneath KOTS MTG. Like I said, all of our stuff on YouTube. I'm actually on Twitch now. I'm going to start streaming soon. Like I said, everything is affiliated underneath Keepers of Spark MTG, or KOTS MTG for short.
Nice. Very good job, Josh. Very good job. Moving on to number 7 is feedback from our listeners. So, Matt, I want to touch base with you on this. We do want more feedback from our listeners. I've noticed we've gotten a little more action going on in the Facebook group. But if you guys are listening and you're able to help out, we are wanting you guys to help communicate more. We did have one listener let me know that the microphone was down on my side, not the guest, not Matt, but on my side, and that was fixed right before this episode, and I couldn't have done it without that feedback in the Crypto Commander Facebook group. And, you know, please, if you guys can reach out to us, let us know that we're doing something wrong, we're doing something right, we're giving you inspiration. You would like to give us inspiration. Matt, is there anything you wanted to share on that topic?
Yeah, just, and many of you guys are also on Heat Free Magic the Gathering on Facebook. You can always, you know, send me a direct message through Facebook if you have any feedback. you have any interesting topics you want us to talk about, anything at all, you could reach out to John or I, and we will respond at some point. We promise.
Absolutely. Let's go to the card of the week. Matt.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. What do you got, man?
We got a baller card. It's called Ball Lightning. It is from yeah, big baller, right?
Yeah.
From fifth edition. That's what it's originally from, right? Or fourth edition is what it's originally from.
It's the 1V. Cool. Yeah, fourth edition, yeah.
Yeah, it's originally from fourth edition, IV. So it's 3 red, and it has trample, it's a 6/1, and haste. At the beginning of your end step, you sack it. Mm-hmm. So it's really just, you know, for OG red deck win sort of decks, is you just have a, you can ramp this out on turn one with a lot of those, you know, red mana burn, not burn, sorry, old charm, one of those red mana ramp cards. You play it, you get that 3 mana, you slap ball in and out, and then attack for 6 turn one. Super fun thing to do.
Nice.
Yeah, I've never played with it, but I've seen people play with it. It's a really good card for red deck wins.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right, you can run it. You'd be big ball in my mat over here with his fly sunglasses.
Baller like me.
Yeah, you just got to get in there with that 6/1, you know?
Right.
And Matt, also, you got some information about our YouTube. I know there's a couple of things you wanted to talk about. Go ahead.
There's going to be a couple fly things coming up on YouTube. Not as fly as me, of course, but, you know, I try. The first thing that I was talking about with some people earlier is I want to add a couple, you know, series sort of to the, not to the Facebook, to the YouTube channel, you know, with fancy animations and crap like that, because, you know, people like that. What I'm going to do is our first series is going to be, it's going to be called How It Works. It's going to be me bringing up meta decks from different formats. It's going to be standard a lot of the time. I'm going to be starting out once or twice a week doing it just to see, not, but it's going to be something I'm going to continue doing. Basically, I'm just going to take a random deck list that's in the current meta. I mean, I'm guessing the first one's probably going to be 4-color Omnath, because that's what people are telling me they want right now. So why not? And so I'm just going to do kind of like a presentation on the individual cards, what the pricing of those cards are right now, how the cards interact with each other, you know, interchangeable cards if you don't have that card, especially if you play paper rather than arena, and vice versa. So another thing that people want is kind of like a jank series. So I'm also going to do like pick a random jank deck from a random format. I'm going to let people in the Facebook group pick it. So I think probably tomorrow I'm going to put up a poll for random jank deck, and I'm gonna let people choose out of like 5 different selections. So come join Hate Free Magic Gathering and Cryptic Commander. There's gonna be a poll, and you get to choose what the first deck I'm gonna do is for the jank series.
Yeah, man, sounds good. I'll be looking for that. I definitely want to build me an Omnath deck. And so we can have a later episode where we have a moment of silence for old Omnath. Going on to movers and shakers, though. These are the cards that have lost value this week and gained value this week. Manamorphosis, $3.27. It has bottomed out. $3.27. You guys want to pick up copies of this right now.
Yep, we'll go back up.
Engineered Explosives, $6.49. Record low. And apparently it's still trending down. There has been a small spike going up. We're not sure if now's the time to buy. My opinion is yes. $6.49 for a copy of Engineered Explosives. You're going to want this card. That one came out of the Double Master set, the one I'm looking at right now. But I'm telling you guys, $6.49, at least pick up one copy of this. Vengevine,
yep,
from back in World Wake. I remember playing this guy. $9.98, record low. And trending down. Is now the time to buy Vengevine? No. Wait a little bit longer. Moving on to number 3, Omnath, Locust of the Royal. $15.50, up 116.78%, which is an all-time high. This would be the M21 version, not the one that we are talking about today. Number 2, Ink Fathom Infiltrator, $4.96, which has gone up 239%. Last but not least, number one, Thieves Guild Enforcer. This is a new card from M21. It goes really, really good in that rogue deck we've been talking about. It's at an all-time high at, you know, which is up 399% at $4.99.
Wow.
That guy is good. That guy is really good. I have like
20 of them.
Yeah, he is. He's great. And anything that's blue, black, or anything that's cut black in it.
There is, like I said, it's an all-time high, Matt, okay? But it's kind of plateauing a little bit right now. It's not going up. It's not going down. So if I can say it's plateauing, if you look at that plateau, it does have a tail that's pointing up. So it could go up, but at this time, it's straight up. It's just plateauing.
Yeah, no, I don't see it going up much further.
Right.
Especially, I mean, if somebody finds some sort of use for it in modern, then it's going to either stay that way or go up. If nobody finds a decent use for it in modern, then it's going to go down.
I think that with the other sets that are going to come out in the future, they're going to take cards like this and just make them $25 cards, you know? You can look at you can look at cards from the dark, and they've went up in value. Like yesterday, I was playing Commander, and anyways, so you can see cards from the dark that used to be nothing, man. They were like a 20 cents card, only worth 20 cents. Now it's worth.
Yeah,
you know what I'm going. You know where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. Even I mean, especially I've talked about this probably more than once, but Demonic Consultation from Ice Age.
Right.
It was like 13 cents. Mm-hmm. Now it's like $13, right?
Right. So. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you guys want to keep your cards, man. You know, try and keep your bulk. Try not to sell, you know, your 1,000 bulk for $3 or $4 to your local game store. I know it's hard. I know you don't want a bedroom dedicated to nothing but Magic the Gathering cards like your Uncle John here, but, you know, you definitely want...
Well, maybe not you, but I do.
You know, some people out there, there's like, you know, I want to sell my collection or I want to sell all the bulk, you know. It's a bad move, man. It's a bad move. My suggestion would be organize your collection, whether it's bulk or not. Have your trade binder, you know. Just don't get rid of your cards like that, guys. I've done it. I'm no angel. There's been a lot of times where I'm like, man, I got to go into this tournament. I'll just sell them some cards real quick. I'll make that money back. At that point, it turns into gambling. And I've lost a few times. You know, but like I said, take it from your old Uncle John, man. Keep your cards. Keep your cards. Speaking of which, last night, guys, I went to local game stores. I had a friend reach out to me that I haven't seen in like 16 years. Now, when I saw this guy last, he was a kid. He was about 15 years old. He's 31 now, and his name's Ricky. I didn't get permission to talk about him on the podcast, but I'm going to anyway. And I told him about the podcast, so I know he's listening right now. But so he gets a hold of me right out of the blue, and I'm like, man, I've been talking to you for like 15 years, 20 years. And he's like, hey, man, how old are you now? I'm like, 41. I'm like, how old are you? He's like, 31. I'm like, wow, man, it's 10 years difference, you know? Guy plays Magic like a pro. He's got cards from back when I was a kid, and, you know, I'm like, whoa, you know? But there's history there with him, and he gets a hold of me. He goes, hey, I want to play with you and some of your friends and stuff. And I'm like, well, we're going to go to some local game stores then or something. And I picked one out, to make a long story short. I picked one out. We went up there, and there was Standard going on and Modern going on, you know, for FNM. And he didn't want to play any of those formats. I wanted to, but I wanted to be with my friend and have fun with him. So if he wants to play Commander, that's what we're doing. Luckily, we did find somebody by the name of Liz. Liz, I know Liz. We've got many years history. She's an acquaintance, and it's not like I just met her for the first time or nothing. So we saw Liz. We played a game with her, and he still didn't feel that itch like it was fed, you know, like he was done. And I knew it. I can sense that. So I said, I got an idea. I'll call this other game store that's close to my house and see if there's anybody there that wants to play Commander. It was a good thing I did. They said they had two or three ready to go. We drove down there as quick as possible. We get down there, and some of the best games of Magic I've ever had in my life, guys. You know, this is.
Oh yeah.
I'm getting into Commander, which, you know, I still call EDH, but Maybe that's because I'm old, you know. But I really like this commander, man. You know, what we know is commander now. I like, you know, because originally EDH was not this way. It was just the first original five cards that were the legendary creatures of the opposite. You know what I'm talking about. So the commander today is not the same. And but I'm telling you, though, I'm learning more and more about the commander format and the fact that it is casual. You know, at first when I went to go to a tournament, that was my mistake. I took my Hippo Hug deck 2 or 3 weeks ago to a tournament where it cost me money to get in. I lost on the, turn four I lost? Not last night. Last night I was going to turn 20, turn 25. I'm like, these games really are long? Everybody playing with me. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. I mean, me and my buddy, that's all we play on paper is EDH. And we used to have another buddy that play with, and just between three people, sometimes our games would last 5, 6, 7 hours.
Wow. Wow. And see, I see a meme going around the internet where a guy's got his head backwards looking up toward the ceiling, and it just says, playing an 8-pod commander game like... Yeah. So I see what they're talking about. I don't think I would sit down with an 8-person pod, but maybe the more
not a good number to go with when you're playing. Otherwise, you're going to want to put some really long decks. I mean, long games.
Yeah.
There was some shenanigans going on, though, man. You know, like I said, I saw cards I haven't seen in a long time. A buddy of mine, he was like, can I see that? Whoa, where that from, man? And he took a picture of it, you know. And then some of the guys there looked at his cards like, whoa, where did this come from? Man, I need to get me one of those, you know.
Oh, John, yeah. You're getting into Commander. A way you guys should try playing sometime, since you probably haven't tried it out yet, try playing it with the Planes Chase cards. And if you actually don't have the physical ones, they have an app on the App Store where you can actually download it. It makes it so much more fun.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Plane Chase is really fun.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, Plane Chase is fun. I've played Plane Chase with my cube, and I've played Plane Chase with my regular standard decks. I've never done it with my modern decks, but that's besides the point. For the listeners that don't know about Plane Chase, Josh, I agree with you 100%. All I did was I took a 6-sided die, I took the number 1, okay, and I put a little sticker on it, right, like a little infinity sticker, and then on the number 6, I put a circle sticker on it. Now, whenever anybody rolls the infinity symbol, we just Plane Chase, okay, and then what that means, listeners, is there's a deck of cards, like what Josh was mentioning, that would be different planes. So instead of us waiting for the next standard set and going to another plane, we simply flip over a card. Now, in that plane, you might have something really redonkulous, like all creatures are black and get +3/+3. Or spells and instants cost 2 extra more to cast. You know, if something's going to happen where it's a world effect. But if you want to change that, it's not helping you or any way, you're going to want to roll that dice. You guys get 1 free roll per turn. And if you want more rolls beyond the first free roll, you got to pay 2 colorless mana. The other symbol, which is the circle, if you roll that, what happens? I can't remember. Let's see here. Plane Chase. Oh, effect. So on the card, it has effect. So yeah, you got the static effect of what's going on, but when you roll the effect on the dice, this major catastrophe happens. Yeah, it's a real fun way of playing Magic the Gathering. You don't have to go out and spend $100 to get a Plane Chase set. You can just get a 6-sided die, and like what Josh said, download the app. I think there's 4 or 5 of them. I don't know about Apple, but for Android, there's 4.
But yeah, for Android, it's completely free.
Yeah, so if you have only Apple products and you know some people that got an Android and they play Magic, just go, hey man, can you download that app and we can play Plane Chase? Really fun format. If you haven't tried it yet, I really like it. The first time I learned about it was back on the Xbox 360 with the duels of the Planeswalkers. Yep. And I think it was M15 or something, M15 or 14, where they had that for the first time, even though the product came out. And then the board was black, and you can play multiplayer. So if you guys had the Xbox 360 or PS3 back in the day, which you might still have one, I don't know. You can play the Duels of the Arena Planeswalkers, and it was always you against the computer. Now, if you only had the free shareware version or freeware version, demo version, whatever you want to call it, you were doing just four or five matches and then you couldn't do anything else. There was no way to progress without buying the actual game, which I believe was download only. You couldn't even have a physical copy of it.
Yeah, and I know we're getting to the end of the podcast here.
We are.
Yeah, and I wanted to really quickly talk about our Patreon. And we recently redid it, and we have a lot of really cool options on there now. One of them is to be in this Zoom room where myself, John, and Josh all are right now. You're going to be here with us during the podcast and, you know, just listen in and be a part of it, you know? And you can talk with us at the beginning before we start recording, and you can ask us questions after we're done recording. So make sure you go to patreon.com/thecrypticcommander and check us out there. Because I'm pretty excited with a lot of the new stuff we've added on there, especially because we're getting really close to, you know, I'm pretty excited. I know John's really excited about the 3D printed deck boxes.
I'm also excited about Artopia, who's working her little patouche off.
Karin's awesome. She's done cover art for us and done some awesome dice bags. I love it. You guys definitely got to check her out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Artopia is awesome.
So, Matt, when you do the video for this podcast, which is going to be interesting because I used to do videos for this podcast when I first started, can you put a link in the description below for our listeners for Artopia?
I can figure it out.
That's not like a man right there.
All right. Is there anything anybody else wanted to bring to the table before we let the listeners go?
I just wanted to thank you guys for having me back on the podcast and let everybody know, if they aren't on the Cryptic Commander page, then to go over and give you guys a like. And I'd also like to give a shout out to my boy Johnny Selenus, aka Goku Blue, who runs the 2Blue community on Facebook. You guys, the Cryptic Commander and the 2Blue community, are Keepers of the Spark sister channels, so we're all behind supporting you guys and supporting each other.
Likewise.
Really quick before John signs out, I just want to remind the YouTube people here to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, because this is going to be something unique that happens only every once in a while where I upload the video, just so you guys can see like something cool unedited and see what goes on behind the scenes.
And if you like this, let us know you like it. Hit that share button if you like it.
Right, feedback is always important.
Let's get this video up to 100,000 likes, and then I'll give out personally a box of the newest set that's in standard.
Hey, I'd give somebody a hot air balloon if we got to 100,000 likes.
Okay. Well, you got one right
here. I got one like right now. Look, there's two. Okay, there's three. All right, guys, we'll go ahead and let the listeners go for now, and the viewers go in this case. And I really appreciate you guys tuning in this week. We really can't do it without you. We do have still one supporter at the 99-cent level. And, you know, we always say it here. We don't take it lightly, you know, that we can't do it without you guys. We're not in dire straits or anything. But there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes as far as upscaling. And this is all being done with $1 a month. Okay?
Yep.
Awesome.
We want to give a real big shout out to Sean Reno. That is our one supporter at the 99 cent a month level. Sean, you're a real man. You are, bud. Not only are you going,
you're the homeboy.
You're going into so many Magic the Gathering groups and giving your insight on the formats that are not even heard of, like Horde, for example, and your variants, Sean. I love your ideas. And people like you in the community just make my heart cry out, man. So we can't do it without you, Sean. Every month, your dollar is going to the best possible way to upscale this podcast. But
always,
I want to leave it there. Please, guys, if you think you cannot donate, we understand. Because right now, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but Sean Reno is our only supporter. If you can't donate a dollar, please share this. Please tell your friends to share this, okay? Because we're trying to get in front of people that this show can benefit from. And if you have any questions about that, reach out to us. You know, it's a simple thing. Comment on it, share it, like it, subscribe to it. But until next time, keep spell slinging.